Imagine waking up tomorrow and realizing that 77% of the clients who desperately need your legal help are just walking right past your office door, like completely invisible to you.
Oh, wow. That is a terrifying thought for any practice.
Right. But if your law firm relies entirely on word-of-mouth referrals, mm-hmm. well, that isn't some hypothetical scenario. That is actually your reality right now. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Ron.
And I'm Sandy.
And you are listening to The Legal Marketing Playbook from Forward Push Law Firm Marketing. Today, our deep dive into the source material is going to focus on a truly fascinating article that we found right on the Forward Push Law Firm Marketing website.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It really is. And it tackles something that is honestly just foundational to how you run your practice.
Mm.
We are looking at the traditional law firm business model today because, I mean, for most of legal history, the entire playbook was essentially this: you do great work, a client tells a friend, their friend calls you, and then, you know, eventually they tell their neighbor.
Exactly. You just wait for the phone to ring.
You just wait. And while referrals still convert incredibly well, and we know they do, obviously relying solely on them is actually creating this hidden ceiling. It's secretly making law firms incredibly fragile today.
It really is. And I think the scary part is that it's something that sneaks up on you. You know, a lot of attorneys assume their pipeline is completely safe because, well, it mm-hmm. has always worked. It's the way yeah. it's been done for decades. But the underlying mechanics of how clients actually find lawyers, how they go out and seek legal help in the real world, those mechanics are shifting really rapidly right underneath our feet.
Exactly. So let's unpack this a bit. We have to start by acknowledging exactly why lawyers absolutely love referrals. And I mean, they should. A referred client arrives at your office with this baseline of high trust already established.
Oh, absolutely. The wall is already down.
Right. The wall is down. They convert at a much higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, they stay longer than almost any other source of business.
Yeah.
They are great leads. But we have to pivot here and look at the raw data, because the data proves why this model is, it's just no longer enough to sustain growth on its own.
Because of the 77%?
Exactly. The research consistently shows that 77% of people looking for an attorney now start their search online. They aren't asking a friend. They aren't calling a colleague from work. They're opening a search engine, or increasingly an AI tool, and they're looking for help there.
Yeah.
And this isn't just some passing trend, you know. It's a permanent demographic shift. The smartphone generation, the people who grew up with an iPhone in their hand, they are now aging into the demographic that actually needs divorces, that needs business dispute resolution, or estate planning.
Okay, wait, let me push back on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I get that people use Google to find a restaurant or, you know, buy a toaster. But are people actually trusting an online search or an AI chatbot with something as sensitive as a messy divorce or, like, a major criminal charge? Doesn't a referral from a real human neighbor still hold way more weight than a search result?
That is a totally fair question.
Mm.
And the answer is yes. Human referrals hold incredible weight, but the behavior of the consumer has fundamentally changed. We have to think about the psychology of someone going through a messy divorce or facing a lawsuit.
Okay.
There's often shame or fear or just a desperate need for privacy involved in that moment. They don't necessarily want to call three neighbors over the fence and announce that their marriage is falling apart just to get a lawyer's name.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes
sense.
Right.
They want privacy.
Okay.
And they want immediate answers at like midnight when they're panicking on the couch. So they turn to their phone. The client in 2010 was limited by their immediate physical and social geography. Today, the modern client has the entire collective knowledge of the internet right in their pocket.
That privacy aspect is huge. I hadn't thought about it that way. When you are in crisis, your first instinct isn't always to broadcast it to your network.
Exactly. So think of relying exclusively on those old referral networks, like having a beautiful five-star restaurant, but taking your address off Google Maps and unlisting your phone number.
That would be a disaster.
It doesn't matter how incredible the chef is or how much the locals love the food. If the only way people can eat there is by knowing the secret handshake from a friend, you are going to have empty tables. That massive roaring river of 77% of the market is flowing right past your restaurant, completely unseen.
Wow.
Both sets of people, the referrals and the searchers, are real clients. They have real legal needs and real retainers to pay.
Mm.
But if you aren't visible in that digital river, those clients essentially exist in a completely different universe. You have zero chance of capturing them.
Okay, so if 77% of the market is in that river, going online to find representation, What exactly is happening to the other 23%, like the people who are still relying on traditional word of mouth?
Well, that brings us to what is probably the most insidious part of this whole dynamic. The traditional referral network, that 23%, is actually a decaying asset.
A decaying asset?
Yes. And most attorneys are not tracking this closely enough. The colleagues, the past clients, the community members who send you cases, they are not a static population. They are human beings, and human beings age out.
Right.
I was looking at a case study recently of a highly successful personal injury lawyer who had relied on one massive corporate contact for a decade. The contact got headhunted to a firm in Chicago, and this lawyer's pipeline literally dropped 60% in a single month.
Oh my gosh, 60%.
In 1 month, he was panicked. And that is because referral sources degrade over time. That law school buddy who has been reliably sending you conflict cases for 15 years, well, he's approaching retirement. That loyal corporate client, they move out of state.
Or they just change how they do business entirely.
Exactly. Or maybe a partner firm you've worked with since 2012 just adopted a brand new online intake platform. And now that software automatically routes all their overflow cases to some preferred digital network instead of calling you.
And that decay is so dangerous precisely because it's invisible, isn't it? It's not like losing a major account all on one Tuesday.
No, not at all.
It happens slowly. It's one retirement party here, one software update there, one partner changing practice areas, until a lawyer sits down to look at their quarterly numbers and suddenly realizes the pipeline is just shockingly thin.
Exactly. It's not an explosion, it's an erosion.
Yeah.
If you're driving to the courthouse right now listening to this, you could probably name the three people keeping your lights on. You know exactly who your anchor referrers are. And you have to ask yourself, what happens to your firm if one of them decides to retire to Florida next week? Relying entirely on a referral network is like having a very slow leak in your car's tire. You don't notice it on your daily commute.
Right, because everything feels completely fine.
Everything feels fine. The car drives exactly the same until one day the pressure drops just a fraction of PSI too low, the tire goes flat, and you are suddenly stranded on the highway. And by the time you're stranded, it is way too late to patch it up quickly.
That's a great analogy. But what about when the network does work? Because referrals are obviously still happening, right?
Okay.
But from what the source material indicates, even when a name is passed along successfully, the actual rules of engagement have completely changed.
Oh, completely. We are fully living in the trust verification era.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a concept that I think a lot of attorneys haven't fully processed yet. The warm lead is no longer a guaranteed phone call, period.
Yeah.
Even your referrals look you up now. Let's walk through the actual mechanism of how this happens. A prospective client is at a barbecue. They mention they're going through a messy business separation. Their friend says, oh, you have to call my lawyer. They were amazing.
A classic referral.
Exactly. 10 years ago, that client takes the business card, puts it in their wallet, and calls on Monday morning, today. Before they even leave the barbecue, they have their phone under the table and they Google your name.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone does that.
They check your Google reviews.
Yeah.
They look at your website to see if it looks professional. They search for your social media or see if you have any video content explaining the exact problem they have. They form an entire concrete impression of whether you look like the right choice long before they ever dial your number.
So just to clarify the stakes here, if they do that search at the barbecue and they land on a really thin, outdated website, and maybe they only see like 12 reviews from 4 years ago, does that referral actually just stall out? Do they just not call?
Absolutely, it stalls. And here's where it gets really interesting, because we have to look at the psychology here. It doesn't stall because the referring friend was wrong about you.
Right.
It stalls because your digital presence completely failed to reinforce the recommendation. The marketing context either strengthens or weakens the friend's word. Think about it like a movie recommendation. A really good friend comes up to you and says, I just saw the best movie of the year. It is incredible. You have to go see it.
Okay.
You trust your friend implicitly.
Wow.
But you pull out your phone, you look up the movie, and the trailer looks incredibly cheap. The lighting is bad, the acting looks terrible, and it has a 1-star rating online.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to that movie.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how much you trust your friend.
Yeah.
You are not going to spend your Friday night buying a ticket to that movie.
Okay.
The digital footprint destroyed the word-of-mouth trust. Your firm is the exact same way. If the digital verification fails, the trust evaporates.
That is a fascinating way to look at it. The friend gets them to the door, but the digital presence is what actually turns the handle and opens it.
Beautifully said, yes.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, Because referrals now require this digital verification, and because those human networks are naturally decaying over time, that creates some massive structural vulnerabilities for a law firm.
Yeah, it creates three distinct breaking points.
Yeah.
Three specific scenarios where a referral-only model will completely break down.
Mm.
And that reliance on one or two people creates a massive single point of failure.
Okay, so what's the first one?
We see this all the time with the first breaking point, which is what happens when the anchor retires. Like we touched on earlier, most lawyers rely heavily on just a couple of power referrers. It's a very concentrated pipeline.
Right.
When one of those anchors retires or moves or just steps back from practice, your pipeline takes a devastating immediate hit. And because you haven't built any other mechanism to generate leads, you don't just bounce back. That hit takes months, sometimes years, to recover from. You've put all your eggs in just a couple of very human, very unpredictable baskets.
Right, but it's not just retirement that cuts off a pipeline. What about when the market economics shift?
Exactly, which brings us right into the second scenario, the market shift.
Mm.
Let's say you have a colleague who has loyally referred complex litigation cases to you for a decade. It's a great relationship. Then suddenly a massive competitor moves into your city and starts offering your best colleague a highly lucrative 30% referral fee structure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Listen, referral sources are incredibly loyal right up until the market incentives change. When the economics shift, that loyalty can vanish overnight. It is business after all. And when it does vanish, if you don't have another pipeline to absorb that sudden loss, your firm is in serious trouble.
That is a harsh reality. Market incentives dictate behavior, and you can't control what a competitor offers your network. And what if the lawyer themselves wants to change? Like, what if they want to stop doing general family law and transition exclusively to high net worth divorce?
That is the third breaking point, the practice area pivot. And this happens all the time. You want to shift to a more profitable practice area, but your referral network only knows you for what you used to do.
Ah. They have you completely pigeonholed.
Totally pigeonholed. Relying strictly on word of mouth to build credibility in a brand new practice area takes years. You have to take your network out to lunch, educate them on your new focus, wait for them to organically encounter someone with that specific high net worth issue, and then hope they remember that you do that now.
That sounds exhausting.
It is painfully slow.
Yeah.
But building digital visibility can compress that timeline dramatically. We are talking about shrinking years of word-of-mouth networking down to months of targeted digital strategy. Which brings us to the fix, because the vulnerabilities are clear. But the goal here isn't to abandon the valuable, deeply trusted relationships you've already built.
Right. We aren't saying referrals are bad.
Not at all. It is about systematizing what you cannot control.
Systematizing the uncontrollable. I like that. But what does that actually look like in practice? Because it's one thing to say, you know, get online, but how does a firm actually build that?
It looks like building what we call the second pipeline. You see, you cannot scale a relationship. You just can't. There are only so many lunches you can go to, so many hands you can shake in a week.
Very true.
But you can build visibility infrastructure that works 24/7, whether your referral partners are sending you cases this month or not. And this infrastructure basically has four mandatory components that you have to put in place to capture that 77% of the market.
Okay, let's break those down.
First is search visibility. This isn't just having a website. It means optimizing your web presence so the clients find you at the exact precise moment they are experiencing peak anxiety and looking for help. It's intent-based.
Intent-based. Got it.
When they type breach of contract lawyer near me into Google at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday, your firm needs to be the one that shows up on page one. You are intercepting their intent.
Okay, that makes sense for Google. But the source material also mentions AI search authority. Let's stop there for a second, because the AI thing is completely confusing for most people. How do you even optimize for an AI? It's not like you can just buy an ad inside ChatGPT, right?
Oh, you can't just buy an ad. And it's not about stuffing keywords on some hidden web page anymore either. To get AI tools like ChatGPT or Claude to recommend you, you have to understand how these language models actually learn about the world.
Okay, how do they do that?
These AI models are constantly scraping the internet for data. They scrape high authority legal directories, they read legal publications, they scan news articles, and they look at cited case studies. So if a potential client asks ChatGPT, who are the most experienced employment defense attorneys in my city? The AI looks at all that scraped data to formulate an answer. If your firm isn't being consistently mentioned in those high authority digital spaces, if you aren't publishing articles, getting quoted, or maintaining robust directory profiles, then to the AI, you literally do not exist. You have to feed the language models the data they need to recognize you as an authority.
That is fascinating. So you're essentially building a digital footprint that the AI can read and trust, which leads directly into the third component, review depth. And I assume depth means more than just having a 5-star rating.
Exactly. The third is review depth, and the key word there is depth. Having a consistent stream of recent highly rated reviews is what provides the undeniable social proof for that trust verification moment we talked about at the barbecue.
Circling back to the barbecue.
Right. When the referral comes to verify you, the mechanism of trust relies on volume and recency. If they see 85 glowing 5-star reviews from the last 6 months, that proves you are active, you are currently successful, and you are trusted by the community right now.
Yeah, that makes a huge impression.
But if they only see 12 reviews from half a decade ago, it raises a red flag. It makes them wonder, are they still practicing? Are they still any good? Review depth proves your current competence.
That makes total sense. It's the difference between a restaurant with a line out the door versus one that's completely empty on a Friday night. And the fourth component.
The fourth component is content. And I don't mean just generic blog posts. You need videos, detailed articles, and resources that actually do the heavy trust building work that a referral partner used to do on your behalf.
Oh, that's a great way to think about it.
Right. Think about the questions your clients ask you in the first 15 minutes of a consultation. If you can answer those questions in a high-quality video on your website, you are proving your expertise in calming their anxiety before they ever pick up the phone. You are doing the consulting work digitally at scale.
I think it is so important to emphasize a crucial mindset shift for the listener here. Because hearing all of this, it might sound overwhelming. But building this infrastructure, this second pipeline, is not about replacing your network. Nobody is saying traditional referrals are bad or that you should stop networking. It is entirely about amplifying that network and making the firm fundamentally less fragile.
Yes, exactly. I always compare the modern law firm to a twin-engine aircraft. Mm-hmm. If you are flying a plane and you only have one engine, the referral engine, and that engine sputters because your main anchor retires or the market shifts or a pandemic hits, you are going down. The firm is in immediate crisis mode.
Nobody wants that.
But if you have a twin-engine aircraft with a powerful digital engine running consistently right alongside the human referral engine, you keep flying smoothly. If referrals have a slow month, the digital engine carries the load. And the best part, that digital engine is constantly picking up brand new passengers who never even knew your referral partners existed in the first place.
Yeah.
You are reaching the 77% of the river that used to flow right past you.
It's about redundancy and reach. The referral network is still there. It's still generating those high trust, high concurring leads. But now it's supported by a system that doesn't sleep, doesn't retire, and doesn't get poached by a competitor.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? The core educational takeaway here is that the law firms growing at the absolute highest rates right now, the ones dominating their local markets, they aren't choosing between referrals and digital marketing. They aren't viewing it as an either-or scenario.
Right, it's both.
They are running both of those engines simultaneously. They are fiercely protecting their legacy relationships while aggressively building the infrastructure to capture the 77% of the market that is searching online. It's the only way to build a truly resilient practice today.
It really is. It takes the pressure off the individual lawyer to constantly be shaking hands and puts the heavy lifting onto the systems they've built.
It really does. So I want to leave you with a final lingering question to mull over as you look at your own practice today. Take a hard look at your current caseload. If your top two referral sources retired tomorrow, exactly how many weeks would it take for your phone to stop ringing completely? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Legal Marketing Playbook.
We appreciate you joining us for this deep dive into the source material.
We'll catch you on the next one.